Welcome back to the Art of Suffering podcast with Dalton Darnell. Today we got Josh. I saw a Facebook video that resonated with me. No, it was a TikTok video that resonated with me really deeply that Josh made. He was talking about, it was kind of like a cry for help. Am I mistaken there? That's kind of seemed like.
It was definitely a cry for help.
Yeah, it seemed like he was talking about being on fire for the King, and so it got my brain churning, dude. I'm talking about my mind was just absolutely consumed with this. So, Josh, let's pause that there. That's how I saw Josh. I asked him to come on. Let's talk a little bit about kind of where you're from, how old are you, that sort of thing.
Yeah, no problem. Well, my name is Josh Proto. I'm originally from Connecticut, but mm-hmm. I live in Central Florida. I lived here for about over 10 years now at this point. Yeah, 2012 is when I moved down here. Got a beautiful family, got a wife and kids, been married for almost 10 years, and two boys, 7 and 4. They're mm-hmm. actually in the other room, so I'm sure they're going to probably come in at some point. But
that's good. Mine's right here, bro. Yeah. He's coming too.
Yeah. But yeah, live in Central Florida currently, and it's growing like crazy down here. Can't get anywhere under an hour. It's insane how fast it's growing down here. But yeah, that's me. Yeah, I don't know what else you want to know.
Well, tell me a little bit about. All right, so your TikTok to me is very similar to this podcast, honestly. It's basically you sharing, like, not only your beliefs, but kind of your struggles too, like,
yeah,
just your daily walk with Christ. Kind of how'd you get started doing all that?
So, I mean, I'll go all the way back to the beginning. I used to be a Mormon. I used to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints my entire life up until I was about 18, 19 years old. That's where my foundation is. That's where it all started. Yeah, there's a lot of things with the LDS church that are very, rough, and brainwashing and all that stuff. And again, I can talk about that all day. But that's my foundation of where I came to know who Jesus was or Christ was at the time. And it wasn't until, I was probably 25. Oh yeah, I'm 33, by the way. I mean, I don't think I answered that question, but, I was about 25 and, I didn't have a really good relationship with my dad. My parents got divorced when I was 14 years old. And in the Mormon church, family is everything. And that's when I really started losing my faith in that whole religion and, where, you know, my whole identity was just starting to fall apart. High school was pretty rough. I was going through a lot. Through most of my life, I was verbally, mentally abused, physically abused. And so there's a lot of hardship through that. If you want to go that deep with this.
We'll go as deep as you want to, man.
Yeah,
I'm just let her rip.
That's one thing about me is if you get to know me, I'm an open book. I've got no shame in that anymore of who I am as a person. And it just makes my testimony stronger. So I was suicidal from sixth grade up until about maybe I was like 21. I never
because of the abuse or was this?
I had no friends. I'm the only boy in my family. I grew up mm-hmm. with six women in my house. And my dad wasn't around a lot. He, worked a ton. And when he came home, he really didn't hang out with us, do a lot of things with us. Just sat in front of the TV and that's it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I didn't really have a good relationship with him. Especially after my parents got divorced and we, didn't really fall away from everything, but just how everything happened, the manipulation from my mom and from other people in my life to kind of make it seem like he was a horrible person. Mm-hmm. Was kind of it was a big red flag for me. So I was about 25, maybe 26 years old. And I had this coming to Jesus moment where something told me And again, I've had the Holy Spirit my whole life. I got baptized in the Mormon church when I was like 8. I haven't been baptized since. I've always had the Holy Spirit, and it just became a little bit stronger that day. And the Holy Spirit told me to call my dad on Father's Day and forgive him. Forgive him for everything that happened in our lives, and just kind of start that kindling again. So that's happened then. And then our relationship grew from there. We didn't get like super, super close, but we were close enough that when he called, he always wanted to know what was going on, everything like that. And I'm talking in the past tense because he actually passed away in 2030, 10 days before Christmas. And December 15th of 23. So since that point, I've kind of had to rely on not only that, but my relationship with Jesus. Is when it really, really started to flourish. It was 2023. I always say COVID was the reason. But I think if I really, really dig down, it was when my father actually passed away, because I've had to break a generational curse with my own kids, try to raise them better, and all that. So that's when it really, really started to flourish. And over the past year and a half, it's been getting better. But yeah.
So when you say it's been getting better, you're talking about your relationship with Christ?
Yeah. It's it's been always up and down with Jesus. It's been a rocky road. And to say the least, I've had a lot of trust issues with him just because of my past and my life and where I want to be and how I want to raise my kids, you know.
No, 100%. Well, it's funny. So my granddad was a marriage and family counselor, okay? And he used to make everybody that came to him for counseling, the first thing he asked them to do was to draw a picture of what they thought God looked like. And it was for him to get this, like, this picture of what's in their brain of who God is. You know what I mean? And a lot of times our dads, I think, our dads, our grandparents, our forefathers, so to speak, the men in our lives who have fathered us, create either a really good depiction of what Christ is or like a really bad one. You know what I mean? And you know, it's funny. I don't know why. All I've gained from this little exercise my granddad did for myself, is this unbelievable weight of my responsibility to my sons. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, if I'm going to be what they draw their picture of Jesus as, that ain't good. We're in trouble, boys. You know what I mean? So it's very interesting to me. I've had other guys on the podcast that, dude, their dads were freaking just, oh my gosh, villains of stories. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, the stuff these guys would talk about is like, how do you even come out of that having a relationship with Christ and then seeing him as a father and that be a good thing? And this one sounds similar to that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that.
I wouldn't say my dad. Yeah. I wouldn't say my dad was like a villain. Like, I mean, yeah, he was abusive and everything, but like not in a way I've heard other stories too. You know what I mean? Like, I've heard stories of, my dad used to throw me across the house just because he wanted to, or used to beat me an inch of my life and whatever. And I'm like, oh, I mean, I never got that. Praise God, I never got that. But it definitely puts a tamper on who you think Jesus is in your life, if you know what I mean. Because it's like, is he this dad of like, if you do something wrong, you're going to get smacked upside the head, or you're going to be rebuked for like the rest of your life? So it's hard to differentiate between that and who Jesus actually is.
Yes. And I'll tell you this, man, like I spent my whole life thinking I wasn't worthy. That was my thing. It's like, God doesn't want me because I'm a piece of shit. Like, literally. Yeah. And my dad and my granddad were both believers and taught me the Bible and all the things. But they were so good. They were good people. And so I was like, man, I'm never going to be that. I'm never going to be that. And until I came to the realization that, like, he wants you anyway, until I knew who he was, like, really had a relationship with him, it wasn't even in the realm of my brain that it could even happen, you know? Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the TikTok I saw. So explain to everybody watching kind of where you were at in that spot and what you were saying, and then how many views did that thing get? Because it was running up pretty hard when I saw it.
Yeah. On TikTok, it didn't do as well on Instagram. And Instagram, it's at over 34,000 views.
Mm-hmm.
On TikTok, it's probably right around 8,000.
Mm-hmm.
I even just put it on my YouTube, and that's going crazy too. So,
yeah.
I think the reason I posted that was I just had this. Honestly, I see everybody on TikTok. A lot of the people I follow are just like, Jesus is this, like, just totally like a different mindset of who they are with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me was like, that's what I want. That's what I need. Mm-hmm. And I don't have that. And I don't know why. So I made the video kind of just putting myself out there, just being completely honest, not trying to BS anything, just trying to be just genuine. And I'm not like that. I try to be like that on every post I make. But this one just felt different. I just pressed record and just started talking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the truth. Like, I genuinely, because of what I've dealt with in my past and where I am now, I can't figure out how to be on fire for him. And I understand that a lot of the comments are saying you can't be on fire for him all the time. Because, I mean, we're human. We've got to try to process and understand what that even means. Mm-hmm. And I get that. But the thing is that, like, I want to be able to wake up in the morning and be grateful to go to work, grateful to have the food in my stomach, the house over, like, all the time. And I've had that. I've been on this journey since 2019, really, of trying to figure out how to be on fire for him. Mm-hmm. A little backstory on that is in July of 2019, my mom called me one day because she had just come down. We were living in Virginia at the time, and my mom came down for my oldest's birthday or something like that. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me that there were some things that I was doing that reminded me a lot of what my dad did when I was little. And I freaked out. She's like, you might need to go to, yeah. She was like, you might need to go to anger management. And as she said that, I freaked out. I just totally had a massive breakdown, and I hung up the phone on her. And I can't remember at this point of if I called her back or if we didn't talk for a minute. It's been, you know, that was 6 years ago. But since that conversation in July of 2019, I have completely 180'd from that person, as I had to. And then literally COVID happened of, you know, March of 2020, the world decided to just shut down. But that was the push I needed to really figure out who I was and what I needed to change. And I downloaded TikTok, and then I started doing that. And I mean, this is actually the second time I've had a TikTok. My first TikTok account had over 60,000 followers on it. But I wanted to start over, take a break. But that's a little backstory from that of where I've come as a person. And that was the spark to try to figure out how to be on fire for Jesus. So when I made that video, it was all genuine. And it's like another restart for me because I'm 33 now. Jesus died when he was 33. And I'm like, okay, it's time. It's time to just focus and
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've been thinking about this a lot, and I think what you see on the internet, as far as like, you'll see a lot of young people, you know, and you can go to any college campus, okay, and find a bunch of 18-year-olds that have joined the youth group, and they're going to stand on the rooftop and they're going to scream about Jesus. Okay. And what most 18-year-olds, and I'm not going to say all 18-year-olds, most 21-year-olds, most young people have not experienced in their life is true and terrible suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They have not found what I call the end of themselves. So that conversation you had in 2019 is what I would call finding the end of yourself. Mm-hmm. You're at the end of your own human manly strength. You're really freaking pissed about everything. Like, if I'm guessing right, you had about a 1-year-old at the time,
mm-hmm.
right? You probably been married about, what, 3-4 years, and you got you a 1-year-old, and you ain't got a damn thing figured out, and you're awful pissed about life, and mm-hmm. you've come to the point to where you're like, I am not enough.
Yep.
Right? So what 18-year-old, 18 to 25-year-olds usually don't have is this perspective, right? They know that God is good. Somebody's told them that God is good, and they want to proclaim this from the rooftops. And hey, dude, get after it. Good job. But what you find with older people, more seasoned believers, is a level of endurance and suffering that has been walked through. That in what you don't want to do as an older guy, in my opinion, is shit on the 18-year-old. You don't want to go, mm-hmm. well, you ain't suffered yet, so shut up. That's not right. What you want to do. You let them holler about Jesus. You do, hey, buddy, I'm glad you're fired up. You keep that that ferociousness when the enemy comes to you, because he's coming. And the mm-hmm. fight that you're going to be in is going to take you to the end of yourself, and you're going to have to find another gear, okay? And so once you've gone through all of these gears, once you're our age and you're a little down the road, you got some kids, you've actually been tired. This is very important. Like, when anyone that doesn't have a child says they're tired, I chuckle in my brain to myself. Like, you know nothing of what you speak. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so once you get to this spot, and this is the fine line for me, is you have to maintain this level of trust and dependence and love for Christ that allows you as a man and me as a man to walk into the world and still love people. Mm-hmm. Everybody's met that old Christian that's just a total a-hole, right? Mm-hmm. That dude is burn up, okay? You still want to be able to love people, but it doesn't look the same, because the guy that just comes out of basic training is like, let's go to war. The guy that's been to war is like, I'll go if I need to.
Yeah.
And that's the guy who can actually handle it, right? And these are the people that the young people need. They need the guy that has been to war with Christ, has towed the freaking line, has gone the places that Christ has asked him to go, and knows what it's like to battle the enemy for his family, for his friends, for his children, right? And that, to me, looks different. A seasoned believer, a salty one, looks far different than the new guy. And I don't have a problem at all with a believer that has just come to know the King and wants to proclaim this. And I've had lots of younger believers on here, and their perspectives are good to have. They're fresh and new and all of the things. But what they have not done is walk into battle yet. And that's mm-hmm. okay, but they're yep. gonna. And that's where people like me and you come in.
Yeah.
that aren't quite as frivolous or fired up, right? We're not as like excited. And the reason right. why we're not excited, in my opinion, at least the reason why I'm not, is because understanding what the King is going to ask us to do as men,
mm-hmm.
to its fullest extent, is to know that the suffering's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're reading about when Christ is having his conversations with the king before he goes to get crucified. That's what we're getting called to do for our wives. That's what we're getting called to do for our children, is like, I am going to take everything that my flesh desires, okay? What my flesh wants, I'm going to take that and I'm going to set it on the altar and I'm going to do what he tells me to do for my family.
Right.
And then if I do this, my children have a pretty good depiction of what Christ has for them in life, you know? If I don't, I'm just another selfish asshole dad that didn't take care of his kids.
Right.
And that's really your two options as a dad. It's like Christ's way, my way. Your way leads to children like me and you who are hurt and broken and have to find the king. And that's going to happen for a lot of people listening, or has happened to a lot of people listening. Yeah. But to me, man, like when I was watching you in that video, I was watching myself. I was like, I understand exactly how that dude feels. And I think that he's just matured past that point.
Yeah.
To a certain degree. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get what you're saying, and that it totally makes sense. And I mean, I read my Bible today and I'm starting to read Proverbs just to gain a little bit of wisdom. And it just felt a little bit different since I've kind of come clean about it all.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it felt the same. Felt like I was just reading it because just to make a little check mark. Yep, read the Bible today. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep going on with the day. And I don't want to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to make it seem like I said in the video, like it's an assignment at school. I don't want that to be a thing. I want it to be like, okay, I'm going to spend time with God for however long, a half hour to an hour, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be fully in.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be fully into what he's trying to talk to me about, what kind of wisdom he's trying to tell me about for my family, friends, whoever. Mm-hmm. And I actually made a video yesterday. I don't know if you saw it, but I made a video yesterday kind of asking another question, is how do I get to a point where I share the gospel and I don't sound like a salesman?
I did watch that video.
And, yeah. And I was talking to my mom about it. And she was like, that is probably one of the most profound questions ever. Mm-hmm. And because it's true, like you're trying to spread the gospel, but at the same time, you feel like you're selling Jesus. And that shouldn't be a thing. You should be talking to people so genuinely and so open that it just comes out natural.
Yep.
Instead of you're trying to sell a car or sell something. You're not trying to sell the gospel to anybody. You're just trying to tell people, but it comes off in a way of like, this is what Jesus did for me. Here's how he can help you. Here's my sales pitch. It's like, that shouldn't be a thing. So so that was my question, is just like, yeah, I can come on here and talk about my testimony and have somebody possibly reach out to me like, hey, I saw the video, I saw the podcast you're on, and it meant a lot to me, whatever. But to me, that feels like I just pitched something. And I don't know how to get over that. And I feel like that's the next stage of maturing with Christ, is to get to a point where it's not getting people in the door for church. It's more of getting people in the door for heaven,
the kingdom. Yeah. I have two things for that. So first part, let's talk about the Bible thing. So I've felt very sent, like I would read whole like books of the Bible and like nothing. Mm-hmm. It's like, I wasn't even like, what am I even doing here? You know?
Yep.
And I'll take you to, so, I've trained a lot of horses. Okay. And it's what we do. My company that I own sells ranch ropes. That's what we do. A lot of cowboys will be listening to this, whether you knew that or not. That's kind of what I do.
I saw some of your videos. I thought you lived in Montana, but then I was like, yeah, he's from Alabama.
No, yeah, Roll Tide. No, I got a clinic coming in Montana. So what I started doing is one of the horsemanship principles, okay, is you always quit on the try, Okay. So if you get a horse, if you're asking a horse to back up and they're backing up like a puke and they don't want to freaking do it and they're wallering around, right? You don't quit them right there. You keep them going until they give you a little effort, like a little bit of speed or effort or whatever you're looking for. And that's when you quit them. Then you get off and you do something else. Okay. And what this does is it quits them in a good spot. They say in their brain, right? Oh, if I just back up hard, he'll quit me. Right. And this will go through the entire horse. You can do this with every principle. I started applying that to reading the Bible. So I read the Bible until something resonates and then I quit. I go something else. So like Proverbs is a dang good one. So you'll be rolling along in Proverbs and you'll run across like, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. And you're like, ooh, that means a little something to me. Quit. Mm-hmm. Shut the book and go do something else. Go walk with the king. You know what I'm saying? And so a lot of times, like the other day I was reading and the verse that hit me, I'm pretty sure it's in 1 James. I can't remember the exact verse, but it basically said, if a man knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, that's a sin for him. I was like, ooh, baby. Mm-hmm. That's easy. Let's go. Yeah. Like I can do that. That makes complete sense. And typically for myself, because I am foolish, it is very like those simple ones like that. I'm like, dude, I can get behind that one. So with that being said, to the second part of the question, the salesman part. So I have a totally different perspective on this than the church for sure, because I don't go to church. As a matter of fact, I'm not a fan, really. I'm really not. Mm-hmm. I know there's good ones out there, but dadgummit, there is a lot of bad ones too. And
that's for sure.
I'm more of a, I love Jesus. I want to be like him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I want to go out into the world and be like him. And so my company's name is 310 Ranch Life. That 310 represents Philippians 310, and Philippians 310 gives us our purpose. It says, for our determined purpose is to come to know the King, share in his sufferings in order to be transformed into his likeness. Hmm. So basically, we need to know God, we need to suffer for him, share in his sufferings to be like him. So my philosophy when it comes to that stuff, what you're talking about, is if I live my life like Christ, if I love people the way he loved people, that's how they experience him. That's how my children experience him. That how the people that work for me and with me, that's how they experience Christ. And you just become this like this illumination of what he says to be over the course of your life and suffering. Now, the questions are going to come in where people are like, hey, man, why are you the way that you are? You know? And I've had tons of conversations over the years where people have asked me stuff like this. And my response would be, do you want the answer for a non-believer or a believer? Mm-hmm. Like, am I talking to somebody who wants to know Christ or am I talking to somebody who doesn't care about that? And I will ask them that. So which one do you want? Because I'm just having a good day. Or I got a king that loves me and takes care of me and I want to be like him. And that's where that comes from. And so I made this freaking post, man, and it's so stupid, but I was waxing ropes. We wax ropes and I'm waxing these ropes. And I was talking about like, if you're married and one of you becomes a believer and the other one doesn't. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's my relationship.
So I was talking about, I was like, the last thing you want to do in that situation is walk in and start condemning that person. Hey, the music you listen to is trash. Turn that shit off. I'm not going to have, like, there's levels. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want my 6-year-old listening to Lil Wayne. Okay. Sure. Let's be reasonable about it. But like, if you can't, as a believer, sit in a freaking car and listen to Lil Wayne and not sin, come on, dude. Jesus sat with me and listened to Lil Wayne when I was young. That's what I'm getting at. So I say all this stuff and I'm like, you just need to love them. Mm-hmm. Just love them. And then when they say to you, hey man, why don't you want to listen to this music? Why don't you listen to this music when we're in your car anymore? So, well, I mean, I just don't, it makes my heart feel bad. Keep it pushing. Yep. Just love them. That's it. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the conversations that come up in my life about Christ typically sound like somebody asking me about how I handle a situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody might say to me, why do you spank your kids? I'm going to say, well, it says in Proverbs, spank your kids to save them from the devil. Like, literally, it says that. And so, do I beat my children? No, I don't. No. Do I slap him on the fanny when he's being a turd? You bet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, come on, man. Like, and that's what people, there's this pendulum, and people are either like way over here or they're like way over here. And there's this little sweet spot where Proverbs lives. It's like, hey, this is just what's good to do, you know?
Yep.
And so I think all of your questions are questions that every single person on earth has that nobody fucking says them. Nobody ever says it. I don't know why they don't say it, but they don't, because everything that I've watched come from you, I'm immediately like calling my buddies. I'm like, hey, man, what you think about this? And I'm like, dude, I don't know, but I feel like that all the time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We talked about it in a small group last night. I told the guys, I was like, I got this guy coming on the freaking podcast, dude. Listen to this shit he put on the TikTok. And no they were way. Like, damn, man. Yeah, no, I'm not kidding. And I told them my thoughts on it, like as far as being like hardened, like a warrior. That's the way I look at myself and other men, is like, that's what you're called to be. And you know, once you go through enough battles, and it sounds like even before you became a believer, the king was like freaking knocking you down a peg, you know?
I mean, one of the biggest, also another big influence in my life is my uncle. My uncle has, I mean, he's the one who really introduced Jesus to me when I was like 12. And then I started going, every time when I turned 17, I used to come down every summer and hang out with him and his family. And, you know, that was also another reason how I know Christ now. It wasn't until I really took, he really took me under his wing. I call him my dad now, cause he's been more of a father than anybody. But earthly father, I was going to say that, you know?
No, bro, my people are real chill. Ain't nobody coming on here. I talk about all kinds of crazy shit on here. These people are like, they're not going to catch you off guard. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Cool. I mean, I always, the reason I'm so hesitant is because of the, I mean, I've lost so many friends and people in my life over the past year, ever since freaking the election and all that craziness. I've lost a lot of, my wife and I have lost a lot of friends and a lot of people just because of what I believe in and what I stand for. We've had, she just lost one of her best friends because of what I've, who I voted for and what I believe in. And that to a point so where, she,
dumb.
Anyway, she, to a point where she basically said that I should, she should divorce me and take the kids pretty much.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
That lady don't know Jesus.
Oh, heck no. That's, no. Trust me, I there's even two another couple that we were really good friends with. I was in his wedding and all that stuff. And just because of what I believe in and, again, who I vote for and all that stuff, they just don't want to listen. And, you know, it's really, really sad. But other than that, it's all good. But that's why I'm, like, trying to – I mean, I don't know your audience or anything like that. So that's why I'm like, okay. But you're saying that, I'm like, oh, sick. All right. I'm open book now. Let's go.
No, none of that. I'm telling you, dude. And like, I am sure that, I don't know who the, like, and that's the funny thing. I have people from all over the place, all walks of life, message me and email me about this thing. And I would assume that a lot of them would be Cowboys, and they're not. So they might have voted blue or red or purple, or, and I don't give a dang, dude. You hear me? Same. That don't matter. Jesus loves them both. And the fact of the matter is like, getting hung up on stuff like that is the wrong focal point, in my opinion. Like 100%. That does not matter to me. So let her rip. While we might disagree on who we want controlling gas prices, I don't care. I mean, honestly, because they're still freaking high, regardless of who we voted for. They're freaking high, bro.
I have a gas station right down the road from me, It drops down to 275, and I'm like, oh, sick. And then all of a sudden,
boom,
it drops up 45 cents in overnight. Yes. I'm like, dang it, I had to get gas today, and I waited.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
No, 100%, bro. That all that stuff is fleeting. It's just fleeting. And here's the thing. Here's my philosophy, and you tell me what you think, okay? If I just take care of my house, the world will change.
Yeah.
If I raise good sons, if you raise good sons, then in 15 years, we're rolling. We're in good shape.
It's crazy. I mean, my kids are great. I mean, they haven't come in once, and they're just chilling. They're playing Paper Mario games or whatever. Mm-hmm. But when we go out to restaurants, or we actually had to take my dog to the vet the other day, like, I have people coming up to me like, your kids are incredible. They sit, they're quiet, they're all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, thank you. Yeah, right? I'm like, yes.
Yeah, awesome. I'm the same way, dude.
And I mean, I totally agree with that. Like, it all starts at home. Like, if you aren't going to parent your kids, of course, they're going to be absolute menaces out in the world one day. You know what I mean? So it's like, it all starts here. So yeah, that makes sense. If you started the house, yeah.
Yeah, period. And like, that's the thing, dude. It's like, I have a relationship with the Father, with God, that like, I love him and I want to be close to him and I cherish my relationship with him and I am fearful of him. This is the king of the freaking universe, dude. Like, are you kidding me? And my kids love me and feel safe around me, but also know that if we're going to act a fool, we're going to get punished. And like, that's a thing, dude. Like, you know, like, that's part of being a dad. And so I found myself, through being a father, like, really having a heart for the Father. It's like, this is a really hard job, because sometimes it's like, I don't know whether to spank you or hug you. And I kind of fall to the side of hugging. I'm like, okay, come here. Good grief, dude. What are you doing?
100%.
You know, I know you're better than this. And I think our Father in heaven does that too. I think he leans toward, like, come here, man. Come here. Let me love on you, because you're dadgummit, you're being an idiot, you know? And then there's other times, and what I look for, and if I'm being completely honest, like in my kids, like, my kid can be a total dink. He can be being a total dink. And if I correct him, and my phase one is, that'll do. Hey, that'll do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If the response to that is softness, my bad, Dad, we're done. That's it. I'm not going to come across the house on you with a belt. I'm not going to do it. And I feel like the same thing, God does the same thing. He gives you the, hey, that'll do. That's enough. Mm-hmm. Right? What I look for is, if I say that'll do and the dude flies me the middle finger.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, fuck you, man. I'm like, no. Now we're going to whoop and ride in a little bit. You know what I mean?
My four-year-old's like that right now.
Oh, yeah, baby. That's good times, dude. That's good time. Oh, my goodness. I don't know, man. It's so hard. Like, I say all the time on here, and the people listening are probably like, yeah, he's going to say it again. But I truly believe that if a man comes to know his true responsibility in the world, a smart man quickly realizes he needs Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Like, quick.
Like, that, you saying that, bro, there are so many times right now that, I mean, I'm an assistant supervisor I work at SeaWorld. So I run roller coasters. So I work I'm a mechanic, and I'm working my hands all the time. I absolutely love my job. But being an assistant supervisor has taught me how many people need Jesus. Like, the guys I work with, you know, they talk about all the worldly stuff, and I'm just like, you know, they're not teenagers, but they're in their mid-20s. They're talking about who they smashed the other day, what they went to a strip club with and their girlfriends are okay with it. And I'm like, oh, y'all need Jesus so bad. You don't even understand the damage you're doing to yourself right now. And like, I pray for them every day, and I have these little snippets every so often about, like, what you're doing is not good, man. I'm telling you, your heart is, you're trying to, I've even had conversations with them. I was like, there's a hole in your heart. You've been hurt by something. And One of them was engaged and found out his fiance cheated on him. Mm-hmm. Another one has a child. She lives in Arizona with a girl that he met in the army. Mm-hmm. All these things. And I'm like, you got hurt by something. And there's this hole mm-hmm. in your heart that you're trying to fill with sex, alcohol, eating, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, the only thing that can fill that hole is Jesus. I promise you. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Literally, I have struggled with lust and pornography for years. Mm-hmm. And I have gone 3 months without doing anything. And then all of a sudden, like, just out of the blue, just whatever. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, how does that, I'm on fire for Jesus. And then all of a sudden I'm like, hey, I'm going to go over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. I think one of the best stories I hear is Paul, you know, I think, what does it say? It says like, I do the things I don't want to do, but the things I don't want to do, I do. And the things I do, I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that battle of your flesh and everything like that. And so I think that's one of the biggest struggles right now for me is to cut my flesh off as much as possible mm-hmm. because the pornography and the lust has hurt my marriage so much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I tell these guys, my guys at work. And I'm like, you got to understand that, yeah, you're hurting, but there's nothing else that's going to fill that hole, no matter how much you do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to help. Yep. Jesus is literally the only thing. The hole that you're filling is a cross, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is the only one who can fill that. And he's already filled it. You just have to accept it.
Yep. And seek and you'll find. Knock and the door mm-hmm. will open. Ask and you shall receive. And it's one of those things, man, where like you're planting seeds. That's mm-hmm. it. And for me, I've come to the spot in life where like I just sowing seeds, and someone's salvation is God's.
Mm-hmm.
It's like my bride, my wife, right? I don't know. Today, she has never proclaimed to me out loud, I believe in Jesus. I've never dunked her in water. I've never, you know, now I pray with her mm-hmm. and she sits and listens and says, amen. I pray with my sons in front of her. We talk about all of these things. She does not read her Bible, right? She'll listen to a little Lauren Daigle from time to time. But when I read in 1 Corinthians, it's either in 1 or 2 Corinthians, but I read a verse that said, your wife and your children will be sanctified through you, right? Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, dude. You're not going to change a single person's heart.
Dude, that is literally gold, what you just said. Now, I came to that realization when I tried to, you know, I tried to save my wife because she's mm-hmm. the same exact way. I pray with her. Pray with the kid when the kids are around, we read the Bible, all that stuff, but you know, she doesn't do it on her own, and that's fine. But that I tried to save my wife
mm-hmm.
and was pushing her away at the same time.
It don't work. Because
I was trying to do that. It don't work. I 100% agree with that because I actually made a video back in the day and I was like, you want to know what the saddest thing about being a Christian is that I can't save you.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing I can do on this earth that can save you.
Yep.
That's only God's job.
Mm-hmm.
My job is to just tell you about him, and it's up to you if you want him or not.
100%.
And that's a special place to
get to. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing about free will mm-hmm. that is so hard to understand. It's like you have a choice to do this or that. God's mm-hmm. not going to make you do this one or this one. You have the choice, and he's going to be like, I knew you were going to do that, but you still chose it.
Yep.
I had no involvement in that. My uncle always says there's two things you have control over in your entire life. It's the choices you make and it's the attitudes you have toward everything. If you have a good attitude toward the choice you're going to make, it's probably going to end up pretty good. You have a bad attitude toward one thing, it's going to end up bad.
Yep.
That's the only two things God has no control over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how you live life. It's how you live life. That's exactly what free will is.
Mm-hmm. There's tons of people who commented on that video where I said you don't condemn people. That were like, you are a beta male. You're not leading your family. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. And I was freaking butthurt, buddy. In the first couple of ones, I was like, you sorry, some, you know, I was pissed. And then I finally came, I started watching The Chosen, which is exceptional. Holy
I still crap. I haven't watched season five all the way through yet, but
dang it. I just got to season five, but I was like, you know what, man, you're Pharisees. That's what you are. Like that guy sitting in that room, condemning that woman for washing the king of the universe's feet with her hair.
Yeah.
Can you imagine saying that to Jesus? Holy crap. You know what I mean? And that's what these people are. They've never experienced it, right? Half of them were freaking teenagers. I was like, you're not even married. You're not even married. Shut up, you know? And there's all this stuff in Proverbs that talks about better to be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. You know what I'm saying? So, and really, I've came to this point in my life where I'm just like, if I know it's right, do it. And if I don't, it's a sin.
Right.
And that is simple. And loving people at its essence is pretty freaking easy. Regardless of what they are, gay, straight, had an abortion, believes in all the things, all these things that people hate each other over. That's not how hearts are changed. You telling somebody that they're wrong, it's not a thing. It's not a thing, right? And I believe condemnation, right? I was talking about this with my mom today. Condemning somebody, that is held for me. If I'm going to condemn a guy, I need to have two things, right? They need to have Jesus, one. And two, I need to have a relationship with them. If I'm going to go to a guy and say, hey, man, you're fucking up right here. We're missing it right here. If they don't have those two things, you just push them out. They're gone.
Yep.
That's it. And other than that, you just love on folks. You just love them, right?
Yeah,
and that's a small group of people that I can say that kind of stuff to, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think another thing I have a real hard time to, especially with the guys at work, is not being judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with all, because I've never done any of those things that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, changing, having God change that my mindset of not being that judgmental prick.
Mm-hmm.
Of like when they talk about it at work and I'm just, you know, doing my own thing, but I'm listening and not giving them a look of like, I'm so much better than them because I have Jesus. It's like, no, you're just as bad as them because you're being judgmental right now, which is the same thing as what they're doing.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and then you feel like it's like a lose-lose, but at the same time, you're doing your best to love on them and show them that the way to, like I was saying, to fill that hole is Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you can hate the sin.
Yeah.
You can hate the sin and be empathetic and love the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be heartbroken for that guy. Dude, I am heartbroken that you don't know the King. You will. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're going to have an opportunity to, just because of proximity to me. When you find the end of yourself, you're going to say, man, Josh, what do you got that I don't got? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But and then like if you watch Jesus, and this is what's crazy. Jesus didn't run around shitting on believers or non-believers. Mm-hmm. He shat upon believers, the Pharisees, okay? The people that were supposed to know God the most. That's the people he condemned. That's the people he's like, you pit of vipers. You know what I mean? It wasn't the lady at the well who had five husbands or whatever. That's not who he was out there freaking ripping a new one. It was the guys who were saying, we know God the best, but they didn't, you know? And so, because you don't change a heart that way. You don't go around screaming from the rooftop, if you're gay, you're burning in hell, and find anybody wanting to know who Jesus is. Like, what the heck? You can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, that's not how that works. And no different than the guy standing behind the pulpit saying, if you don't give me 10% of your income, you're going to burn in hell for all eternity. That dude's a jerk, too. What's wrong with him? So all of these things, to me, that's the battleground, right? Like, if I'm going to stand up and get my whip and go to whipping livestock out of the square, that's what it's going to be about. Not about the guy who freaking decided when he was 12 that he liked dudes. Mm-hmm. Like, that dude just needs Jesus like I do. Like, that that don't make no sense to me. You just love that guy and say, hey, man, I don't agree with what you do, but I don't agree with a lot of other things. That ain't, we're not going to make that the pivot point, whether I love you or not, because of your sin or whatever. Like, good grief, man. And I think the mindset has to change from like this, because I know the way, I'm going to force you into it, to I know the way, I'm just going to love you.
Yeah. That's what I had to do with my wife, 100%.
100%. And Paul, in Paul's letters, everybody bring up Paul's letters. Freaking Paul. Paul says, who's Paul writing to?
Other non-believers.
He's writing to believers. He's he's writing to churches. He's telling the churches what to do. You know what I mean? And the churches have to do this in order to love the non-believer.
Right.
I don't know, man. It don't make no sense to me. It doesn't make sense how complicated people make it.
Yeah, it's and that's the thing, is that, like, it's so simple. And I think that's the issue, is because of how simple it is. And people can't – I mean, you got to, like, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, like, you can't lean on your own understanding. Because it doesn't make any sense.
That's simple.
It's KISS, man. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yes.
Like, it's not that hard.
It's not that hard.
But then the believers like you and I and other people make it harder for a non-believer to believe because we're trying to overcomplicate it. And
well, the people, the reason why people hate Jesus is because of Christians, not because of Jesus. You ain't gonna find somebody that ain't running to just some dank of a Christian. Like, this guy is a dank, and I don't want to be around him. Well, you know what? Me neither. But Jesus ain't like that. He's a bad representation. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's how I think about, like if you go to talking about race, like trailer trash, like white people that are just freaking trashy white people. It's like, dude, you're making me look bad, man, and I didn't even do nothing. I was just born this way. You know what I mean? Like, I don't leave old beat up hoopty in the middle of my front yard. I cut my grass. You know what I'm saying? So I just, it's the same with every sect of people you're going to find. And everybody bases their opinion off this small little group of people that they've met and they've been around. And they're like, I hate those people, so God hates me. And it's like, man, I wish you wouldn't have been around those people and you'd come to my small group, you know?
Right.
I don't know, man. It's tough. It's tough. Is your so... Your wife tolerates the praying pretty good and all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's she's a little just bit, like my wife. I mean, she grew up Catholic. Her grandma was Catholic, and she went to masses and you know, confirmations, all that stuff all the time when she was younger. So she has some foundation. It's pretty rocky right now, but I mean, she's definitely a lot more receptive than she used to be.
Yeah.
I've been praying. Yeah, which I've been praying for a long time. And I know there was a time where I asked her if she would ever accept Jesus into her life, and she said yes, but I think she said yes just to make sure I was happy. Because of what I was. You good, dog? What you doing? You crazy mutt. But I think she was just saying that just to, like, make me happy instead of what she wanted. And so that's when I kind of started to not force her to be a believer like I am.
Yeah.
And you good? Go. Go, 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 go. All right. But yeah, it is what it is. And yeah, she's comfortable around it. You know, I usually play Christian music when I'm in the car with the kids, and usually she's with us. So she just has nothing against it. She was jamming out to some music the other day, Christian music the other day. So I was like,
That's a sign, buddy.
Yeah.
I promise you. That's the king working. You just keep doing what you're doing. And I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And as long as he remains faithful, which he will, they will find it. And it's the way, dude. Your sons will be freaking units.
Mm-hmm.
Like warriors.
Yeah.
And that's what we're hunting. Have you ever read the book Fathered by God by John Eldridge? Mm-hmm. You should read that book.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
It's freaking vicious. Like, it's good stuff. It is good stuff. And as far as like, it'll tell you a lot about you. I read it. I asked my granddad while he was born. This had been six years ago or 7 years ago. And I said, number one book for being a dad, right? We're talking about a Christian counselor for 40 years. I mean, like, he's read them all. And he didn't even hesitate. He's like, Fathered by God by John Eldridge. I was like, you bet. So I read it before Wiley was born, and it walks you through the stages of manhood. So like for yourself, you're going to be like, dang it, dude, it'll tell you a lot about you. But when it comes to your kids and like what they need in certain, like what you needed and you didn't get, it gives you like a blueprint for that. It's like a map. It's really cool. It's a really, really good read, but that's awesome, man. Well, what do you got coming up? So you got a podcast tomorrow. What podcast is that?
It's a guy on Rumble. I forget what the name is.
Mm-hmm.
He reached out to me after seeing my video, and he was like, it's a Zoom. It'll be like a Zoom call. Apparently he's got like a studio. I think he's almost got 100,000 followers or something like that.
Oh, shoot. That's a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. He says he has like 9,000 active listeners. And stuff like that. So I'm like, no pressure. Okay.
That's awesome. Well, so good, man. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited and nervous at the same time. But it'll be good. And I'm trying to start my own podcast. Just trying to figure it out. I mean, I've already got the setup, so
Freaking do it, man. Just it sucks. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I've heard.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Just do it. I have begged God to let me quit this thing. And he's like, nope, you're going to keep going. I fought him for about 5 years. For about five years, he was like, because we've been doing the social media thing with the roping in the ropes and all the stuff for 8-9 years now, you know. And and my best friend Daryl's been like, you got to do a podcast. I'm like, I ain't doing a freaking pie. I ain't got nothing to talk about. And finally, God just put it on my heart and was like, hey, man, you need to do this, and I'm asking you to do it, dadgummit. And so I quit flying the middle finger and was like, okay, Lord. And the enemy has been eating my freaking lunch since I started this thing. I'm not kidding, dude. It is brutal. Yeah. So prepare your mind, because as soon as you start, the enemy's going to be like, no, we can't have this. And I'm talking about my life, like my walk with Christ has changed so much in the last year because of this thing. Because once you sit down and you say it into this freaking microphone and you put it on the YouTube, you freaking said it, man. Like, you said it, and now you got to do it, you know? And so it holds me accountable like nothing I've ever done before. Brutal, but good.
Yeah.
It's a good suffering. Do it. Freaking.
Yeah.
Just pick a name and let her rip.
Yeah. I've already come up with a name that I think would do pretty well.
Let's hear it. What we got?
It's Get Off Your Chest.
Oh yeah. Hey, that's you to a T though. That's I mean, that's what your videos feel like.
That's freaking Get It Off Your Chest podcast.
That's awesome, man. Well, good. So, guys, maybe as soon as he gets it up and running, I'll let y'all know. Y'all can jump on, give him a listen. Because I'm sure it will be right in line with what we got going on here. Because that's basically what this is. It's like, it's my life.
It'll be like therapy for me. So I'll just put it on YouTube, and that'll be my therapy instead of just paying hundreds of dollars to go see a therapist.
That's right. That's right. Oh man, that's awesome. Well, Josh, man, thank you so much for coming on. I enjoyed the visit. I'm going to save your number actually right now. So you can spell your last name for me. How do you say your last name again?
Proto.
Proto. That's a cool last name. You should have been like a freaking baseball player or something.
My, my nickname, well, I inherited it from my older sister, but my nickname in high school is Frodo.
That's tough. How tall are you?
5'6".
Me so. Too, dude. Hey, dynamite comes in small packages, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
How do you spell Proto?
It's P-R-O-T-E-A-U.
E-A-U. Okay. Hey, he just spelled it for you. Go follow him on TikTok. It's freaking great stuff. Instagram as well. Is it Josh Proto as well?
Yeah. Okay. Same on YouTube as well.
Perfect. Go give him a follow. I'm going to go follow you on YouTube right now, actually.
Yeah, since I posted that video, my subscribers went from like 27 to whatever it is now. So,
oh, let's go look. Oh yeah, we got 50 new subscribers. That's what I'm talking about. That's awesome. Oh man. All right, guys. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you need me, Dalton@3.3. Let's try that again. Dalton@310edu.com is my email address. Please send me an email. You can find all my my contact information over at 310edu.com. Josh, again, thanks, man.
Thanks for having me, man. This was awesome.
Yeah, no problem, brother. It was great.
See ya.